أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ويستفتونك في النساء قل الله يفتيكم فيهن وما يتلى عليكم في الكتاب في يتامى النساء اللاتي لا تؤتونهن ما كتب لهن وترغبون أن تنكحوهن والمستضعفين من الولدان وأن تقوموا لليتامى بالقسط وما تفعلوا من خير فإن الله كان به عليما. وإن امرأة خافت من بعلها نشوزا أو إعراضا فلا جناح عليهما أن يصلحا بينهما صلحا والصلح خير وأحضرت الأنفس الشح وإن تحسنوا وتتقوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا. ولن تستطيعوا أن تعدلوا بين النساء ولو حرصتم فلا تميلوا كل الميل فتذروها كالمعلقة وإن تصلحوا وتتقوا فإن الله كان غفورا رحيما. وإن يتفرقا يغني الله كلا من سعته وكان الله واسعا حكيما. ولله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ولقد وصينا الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم وإياكم أن اتقوا الله وإن تكفروا فإن لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وكان الله غنيا حميدا. ولله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وكفى بالله وكيلا. إن يشأ يذهبكم أيها الناس ويأتي بآخرين وكان الله على ذلك قديرا. من كان يريد ثواب الدنيا فعند الله ثواب الدنيا والآخرة وكان الله سميعا بصيرا. Today inshallah we're going to be starting from ayah number 127 Surah An-Nisa, and the main subjects which are discussed today are the issue of women, orphan women and orphan children, and also when there is some kind of fear of a divorce taking place, how the husband and wife can forfeit their own rights and therefore make a compromise with their husband or wife, therefore keeping the marriage alive. So this is basically the subject of the discussion today. At the beginning of the verse number 127, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَسْتَفْتُونَكَ فِي النِّسَاءِ. O Prophet of Allah, they are asking you the fatwa about the women. Istifta means to ask a fatwa, to ask a question which is related to religious teachings. So it is mentioned that in the beginning of Surah An-Nisa, we heard the rulings relating to women and relating to orphans. So it's mentioned that the Sahaba, they were not used to those kinds of rights for women. The rights that were given to women by Islam, the fact that they were supposed to be treated fairly and kindly, and they were given a portion of inheritance, and also the orphans, they were treated kindly and made sure that the inheritance that they got was given to them. It seemed so strange to them that many of them were waiting for an ayah to come down which cancelled out those rulings, because they felt that it was so strange that it was only a matter of time that the rulings would be changed. But in reality, those rulings were not going to be changed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He brought about this verse to, so when they were not changed, they came and asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, about the ruling. So then the answer was given to them again, the same as was given at the beginning of Surah An-Nisa, that no, the rights of the women have to be maintained, you have to treat them fairly and kindly, and the same thing to do with the orphans. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are asking you the fatwa about the women. It refers to those people that came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked whether there was going to be a new ruling about the women after the ruling at the beginning of Surah An-Nisa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلِ اللَّهُ يُفْتِيكُمْ فِيهِمْ. O Prophet of Allah, O Prophet, tell them that Allah has given you a fatwa, or Allah is giving you a fatwa about the women. What is the fatwa? What is the ruling? وَمَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ. فِيَتَامَ النِّسَاءِ اللَّاتِي لَا تُؤْتُونَهُنَّ مَا كُتِبَ لَهُنَّ. Whatever has been recited upon you, whatever has been recited upon you in the book about the orphan women, لَا تُؤْتُونَهُنَّ مَا كُتِبَ لَهُنَّ, that you are not giving them what has been written for them. So, in general, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Allah has already given you a fatwa about those women. That fatwa still remains. And in addition to that, that those women that are orphans, and you are marrying them, and after marrying them, because they are orphans, you are taking advantage of them and not giving them the mahar that is due to them. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Okay? So, فِيَتَامَ النِّسَاءِ اللَّاتِي لَا تُؤْتُونَهُنَّ مَا كُتِبَ لَهُنَّ وَتَرْغَبُونَ أَن تَنْكِحُهُنَّ. And at the same time, you have raghba, you have the desire to marry them. Okay, you don't want to give them the mahar, but you have the raghba to get married to them. So if you want to marry them, you have to give them the mahar. There is no two ways around it. Okay, you can't have your cake and eat it too, as the saying is in English. Okay, so another interpretation of تَرْغَبُونَ أَن تَنْكِحُهُنَّ is that you do not wish to marry them. So raghba can have two meanings. One raghba is that a person is attracted, and raghba can also mean to turn away from. So one meaning is وَتَرْغَبُونَ أَن تَنْكِحُهُنَّ, that you turn away from marrying them, and also at the same time you don't want them to marry somebody else. Why? Because they got a big inheritance, and if they get married to somebody else, they're going to go away with that inheritance, and you are not going to be able to take advantage of them in that way. So both of the meanings are correct, and both of the meanings apply, that if you want to marry them, then you have to give them the mahar. If you are not marrying them, then you have to allow other people to marry them, and in that case, the inheritance that they got from their parents and so on, you have to let that go also. وَالْمُسْتَضَعَفِينَ مِنَ الْوِلْدَانِ, and the same thing applies to those children that are oppressed, meaning those orphan children. The ruling was always given to you that you have to take care of them, you have to provide for them, you can take from their inheritance and use it upon them. All of those rulings were mentioned at the beginning of Surah An-Nisa, so the same rulings applies. وَأَن تَقُومُوا لِلْيَتَامَ بِالْقِسْطِ, and that you should stand for the orphans with justice. You should never be unjust with the orphans. وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِهِ عَلِيمًا, and whatever you are doing from good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of it. And when He is aware of it, what does that mean? He is going to reward you for it if you are just and you are doing what you're supposed to be doing. And if you are unjust, then He will punish you for it. He may punish you for it. So this ayah was basically again about orphan women and making sure that the women that you married, they get the mahar, and orphan children and so on. The next portion is about a woman who has a situation with her husband where she feels that she may be divorced. Her husband is about to divorce her, and in that situation she says, okay, I have X, Y, and Z rights. I have a right of being given my mahar. Okay, I will forfeit that mahar, but you keep me as the wife. Okay? Or in the situation of polygamy, she says, I will give up my right to such and such a wife, or you can stay with her for two nights and stay with me for one night. Basically, it's supposed to be one night every equally shared. So she gives up her right to make a compromise so that he doesn't divorce her. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about this issue in these verses. It is mentioned that this ayah was revealed about Sauda bint Zam'a radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Ikramah narrates from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, خَشِيَتْ سَوْدَةُ أَن يُطَلِّقَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. Sauda radiallahu anha felt that she might be divorced by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. فَقَالَتْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, she said, O Prophet of Allah, لَا تُطَلِّقْنِي, don't divorce me. وَجَعَلْ يَوْمِي لِعَائِشَةَ, and make my day the day that you're supposed to get with me. Take that and spend that with Aisha radiallahu anha. Okay? So, This is again, so the fa'al that the Prophet ﷺ did that. So, and this ayah was revealed. And in Sahihain, meaning Bukhari and Muslim, Aisha radiallahu anha, she says herself, she narrates the riwayah, لما كبرت سودة بنت زمعة وهبت يومها لعائشة فكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقسم لها بيوم سودة. Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that when Sauda radiallahu anha, she became old, she gave her day to Aisha radiallahu anha, and the Prophet ﷺ used to spend that day with Aisha radiallahu anha. And there are differing riwayas with basically the same message that this was revealed about Sauda bint Zama. There's another riwayah that it was about another Sahabi, Rafi' ibn Khadij al-Ansari. He was a Sahabi from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is mentioned in the riwayah, كانت عنده امرأة. He had a wife, حتى إذا كبرت, until she became old, تزوج عليها فتاة شابة. He married a young woman. وآثر عليها الشابة. And he used to give priority to the younger woman. Okay, he used to give more time to her and so on, give more attention to her. فناشدته الطلاق فطلقها تطليقا. So she implored him to divorce her, meaning the older woman, the first wife. She wanted a divorce, so he divorced her once. ثُمَّ أَمْهَلَهَا حَتَّى إِذَا كَادَتْ تَحِلُّ رَاجَعَهَا. When her iddah was about to be finished, he took her back again. Okay, basically, when her iddah is about to finish, after 3 months, he took her back. He says, no, I don't want to divorce you, and he took her back again. ثُمَّ عَادَ فَآثَرَ عَلَيْهِ الشَّابَّةِ فَنَاشَدَتُ الطَّلَاقِ. So again, he took her back, and he was still giving priority to the younger woman and giving her more time. So again she asked for a divorce. فَقَالَ لَهَا مَا شِئْتُ إِنَّمَا بَقِيَتْ لَكَ تَطْلِيقَةٌ وَاحِدٌ. So she asked again for a third time, and he said, I don't want to give you a divorce because you only have one divorce left. If I divorce you one more time, then that's going to be the final divorce. I'm not going to be able to keep you back again. So I don't want to divorce you. فَإِنْ شِئْتِ إِسْتَقْرَرْتُ عَلَى مَا تَرَيْنَ مِنَ الْأَثْرَةِ وَإِنْ شِئْتِ فَارَغْتُكِ. Okay, if you want to stay with me, then you're going to have to deal with the situation as it is. I'm giving priority to the young woman, as you can see. You have to be happy about that and take it as it is, or I'm going to have to separate from you. Okay, so then she thought about it, and she said, okay, I'll deal with the situation as is, and you know, I will remain your wife. So what does it mean? It means that the situation in a marriage, when it takes place, where a woman feels that it might lead to divorce, or even the other way around, a man feels that it might lead to divorce, what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to sit down and try to make a compromise between each other. Okay? So the ruling is that a sulh and an understanding and a compromise can be made in all agreements that do not make halal haram or haram halal. Right? Any situation, anything, any situation where a compromise can be made within an agreement between two people, it can be made as long as halal is not being made haram and haram is not being made halal. So in this situation, for example, in the situation of Sauda bint Zama'a, she didn't do anything haram in the sense that she allowed the Prophet ﷺ to take up the right of her right, and she said that Aisha radiallahu anha can take it. That was not haram. So it is permissible for that situation to happen. Or in a situation where, for example, a person, you know, he wants to spend more time with his first wife and he takes a second wife, and before he takes the second wife, he puts a condition upon her. He says, look, you have the right of equal time, but I'm not going to be able to spend that much time with you. I will spend 5 days with my first wife, and with you I will spend 2 days. I will spend only the weekend with you. So if she agrees to that, then it's her right. She is forfeiting her right. But at the same time, it has to be understood that she can always go back and demand her right again in this situation. She can go back and demand her right again and say, okay, I agreed with you at that time, but I want my right again. So in that situation, what applies is that either he keeps her according to the rights that she has, or he can divorce her. Okay, so it is something that makes a married life more practical and easy to undertake, especially in the situation where there is a polygamous situation, where one man has more than one wife. So let's do the translation. وَإِنْ إِمْرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوزًا أَوْ إِعْرَاضًا. If a woman fears from her husband nushuz, meaning a disagreement, أو إعراض, or him turning away from her. إعراض means to turn your back away. فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا أَنْ يُصْلِحَ بَيْنَهُمَا صُلْحًا. There is no harm upon them that they should make a compromise between themselves. And the noteworthy wording here is بَيْنَهُمَا. بَيْنَهُمَا meaning between themselves. It is an agreement that they have between themselves. Don't get a third party involved if there is no need for it. Okay? If the husband and wife can come to this agreement between themselves, this is the best situation without getting anybody involved. And in all marital situations, the best situation is that the husband and the wife, they sort out their situation by themselves without getting other people involved. The people should only get involved when the situation has come to a point where divorce is imminent. Okay? So, أَن يُصْلِحَ بَيْنَهُمَا صُلْحًا. They should make sulh, they should make a compromise between themselves. وَالصُلْحُ خَيْرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in a compromise there is khayr, there is goodness. Why? That both parties, basically, they stay with each other, they've come to an agreement, they've come to a compromise. The wife, she doesn't get, you know, she doesn't lose her husband. Okay, so she has somebody to take care of her and give her maintenance and so on and so forth. And also, the husband, he keeps his wife, and basically, this compromise results in something good, ultimately, because they made an agreement which is agreeable to both of them. وَالصُلْحُ خَيْرٌ. After that Allah says, وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّحِ. Every soul has within it a greed. Every soul has within it a greed. Every person by nature is greedy. So in this situation, in the marital situation where the husband and wife are about to split up, the wife, she gives him the incentive that, okay, I will stay your wife, but you know, and I will forfeit my rights. So this is an incentive for the husband. The greed is that, okay, I get to keep her, and you know, I get to get more rights, as she forfeits her rights, and I don't have to implement those rights. So this is the greed on his part. And the greed on her part is that she remains the wife of her husband. So in both cases, both parties have a greed or a desire for something, and both parties, they turn up as winners. Basically, both situations, it is a situation where everybody wins if they agree to this compromise. So وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّحْ. All nufus and all souls have within them the ability or the desire. It is always present. It is present within people, this shuh and this greed. وَإِنْ تُحْسِنُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says that, you know, the situation is of compromise is good. But say, for example, compromise cannot, you cannot come to a compromise. You cannot come to an agreement. And the first wife, she wants her desires. She wants her rights. She wants her rights to be fulfilled. And the husband is having a very hard time to fulfill her rights. So, but he goes, because she's not coming to a compromise, he makes ihsan upon her. And he says, he tries his best, his level best, to make ihsan upon her and fulfill her rights. Then this is a situation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes very much. So Allah says, وَإِن تُحْسِنُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. And if you do good, if you make ihsan upon her, if you are good towards her, وَتَتَّقُوا and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is khabir, He is aware of everything that you are doing. And if He is aware that you did all of this, just to make sure that you implemented the rites, to make sure that she was happy, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of it, and He will reward you for it also. It's not something that goes unnoticed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَن تَسْتَطِيعُوا أَن تَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ النِّسَاءِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتُمْ. And you will never have the ability to make adl between women. Okay, this verse is often misinterpreted, particularly by feminists, to indicate that it's not permissible for a man to get married. So we'll talk about to get married to more than one wife. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what actually does it refer to? It refers to a person who is in a polygamous situation, and the natural instinct of a human being is always that he will give priority to one over the other in his devotion or in his desire for the wives. It's like, you know, when you have children, okay, when you have the older child, you know, the older child, you know, he gets his love and everything, and then he gets a little bit old, then he gets a little bit neglected, and then you have a new child, okay, then the new child gets all the attention. Okay, so this is a natural instinct. Even though you love the first child, there is no doubt about that, you love the first child, but the second child, because it's a newborn child, and you know, he's new in the house, and he's cuter, or you know, this is a natural instinct that that baby will get more attention. So similarly is the case with a polygamous situation, that one wife will no doubt get more attention than the other. So the Prophet ﷺ, he used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this situation with his wives. He said, Allahumma hadha qismi fima amlik fala tulimni fima tamliku wala amlik. He said that this is my distribution amongst the women, amongst my wives, in the thing that I have the capability to do, meaning I am doing financially and time-wise, I'm distributing equally between all of them. But in my desire for one over the other, I have no control over that, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't punish me for that, O Allah. So this verse actually refers to a person who is in a polygamous situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will never have the ability to make adl between the women in this situation. So, what are you supposed to do? Allah says, فَلَا تَمِيلُوا وَلَوْ حَرَصْتُمْ. Even if you have hirs, and even if you want to, it's not going to happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَمِيلُوا كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ. That if you have desire for one, that don't go 95% to her all the time and basically give her all the attention. Try your best at least to, you know, at least on the face of it, to show equality between them. On the face of it. فَلَا تَمِيلُوا كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ. Don't turn to one completely. فَتَذَرُوهَا كَالْمُعَلَّقَةِ. And you leave the other one hanging. Okay, فَتَذَرُوهَا كَالْمُعَلَّقَةِ. And you leave her hanging. So basically you are turning towards one and you leave the other one hanging. وَإِن تُصْلِحُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمًا. If you make islah between the two, and if you make the situation good, and you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. He is forgiving and He is merciful. Now going back to this ayah, and the fact that people use it for the situation to say that polygamy is not permissible and a person should not have polygamy, well, if that was the case, then the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says straight after that, فَلَا تَمِيلُوا كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ فَتَذَرُوهَا كَالْمُعَلَّقَةِ. What is the purpose behind it? That don't turn towards one completely and leave the other one hanging. What does it mean? If it means that that command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pointless and redundant. Okay, so it is permissible to get married in a polygamous situation, but you're not supposed to be unequal between the two. Financially, you're supposed to support them equally. And time-wise, you're supposed to give them equal time. This is their right, unless, like I said, they forfeit their right. Okay, and also, in other places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, He talks about the situation of polygamy. For example, in Surah An-Nisa also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions those situations where a person is not allowed to get married. So there He says, وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ. إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. And it's not permissible for you to combine between two sisters. It's haram for a person to marry two sisters. Alright? So, if it was haram for a person to marry two women, he would have said, وَأَن تَجْمَعُ بَيْنَ امْرَأَتَيْن. That it's haram for you to marry two women. But he said, it's haram for you to marry two sisters, but other than that, it means it is permissible. Okay, so this verse to be used in the case of polygamy, and to forbid it, it is not correct. And over there in the beginning, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. If you are afraid that you're not going to do adl before getting married, you're afraid that you're not going to make adl, then you should only marry one. That's right there. But then after you've married, with the complete good intention that you will make adl and you can make adl between them, and then the ruling is this, that you have to try your best to make justice between them, time-wise, financially wise, but emotionally you don't have the capability to be just between them, so you have to still try your best to at least put up a loving front in front of both wives. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَ يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلَّ مِن سَعَتِهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ وَاسِعًا حَكِيمًا. Now after trying your level best, a person cannot put up with his wife, or the wife cannot put up with the husband, and divorce takes place. Okay, this is the worst thing, obviously, that could happen, because nobody wants to see a divorce taking place, and emotionally it is very, very trying for both parties, for the husband and the wife. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if it does happen, you know, a person should not just go into depression and be suicidal and just think it's the end of the world. Allah says, وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَ يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلَّ مِن سَعَتِهِ. If they split up, if it does happen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will make both of them ghani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for both of them. Allah will open up ways for both of them, as He provided for them before when they were single, before they got married, and then provided for them while they were married. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same one, His Razzaq, and He is the provider, He is the sustainer. He will provide for them. He will give them ghina. He will provide for them another husband, another wife. And He will open up the way for them. يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلَّ مِّن سَعَتِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make both of them ghani. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ وَاسِعًا حَكِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is wasi'. He is, wasi' means broad, meaning He has broad capabilities, broad abilities. حَكِيمًا, and He is wise. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And indeed, we advised those people that were given the book before you, and even you, that you should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This advice has been given to every single person that came before you. All of the humanity before you, there were sent prophets, and each one was told to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not do things which would make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry. وَإِن تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Even if you were to do kufr, it will not decrease the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the least. Just because you don't pray, just because you are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's might and majesty and kingdom is going to go less? We've heard that hadith Qudsi many times before, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if all of you, عَلَىٰ أَتْقَى قَلْبِ رَجُلٍ وَاحِدٍ مِنْكُمْ, have the most taqwa, as much taqwa as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, every single person had that taqwa and that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that awareness and that tawakkul and everything, is that going to increase the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's not going to increase the majesty. And if all of us became like the shaitan, and the most disobedient, is going to decrease the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's not going to decrease the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the least. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't need us, we need Him. So Allah says, وَإِن تَكْفُرُوا, if you do kufr, if you are ungrateful, if you are disobedient, then فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, then indeed only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَنِيًا حَمِيدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is ghani. He is the one who is truly ghani. He has no need for anything. And He is hamid. He is praiseworthy. And again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the same thing. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And for Allah is whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough to turn to. Allah is the one that we should take as a wakil, as Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said while he was in the fire, and the angels came to him and he asked, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send you? They said, no, we came of our own accord. We came because we wanted to. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is enough for me. He is the best one to turn to. So instead of being prevented from going into the fire, he could have been prevented by the angels, but he said, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan for me, and whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has planned for me, I'm going to go through with it. So he got thrown into the fire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the fire to become cold. Kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Become cold, and a means of peace upon Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He used to say afterwards that the best time I ever spent in my life was the time that I spent in the fire, the 40 days or so that he was in the fire. So, hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil. Allah says here, wa kafa billahi wakila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough as a wakil and the one to turn to. إِنْ يَشَأْ يُذْهِبُكُمْ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ وَيَأْتِ بِآخَرِينَ. Allah, this is something that we should really, really think about. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, He would get rid of you, O humans, and bring about other people. He would bring other people to take your place. And history tells us again and again, in terms of the religion, in terms of the worldly might, there's always a change. There's always changes taking place. Sometimes someone has more power than the other, and then the powerful becomes powerless, and other people have more power than them. Sometimes financially, one country is more powerful, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it away, and the other people become more financially powerful. We're seeing that right now. That super might of the financial super might of this country, what happened to it? You know, all hollow. And the same people are begging and asking money from other people who were under their feet, you know, many years ago. So this is going on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can replace this power in an instant. And in terms of religious issues, in terms of Islam, we see again and again that when, you know, a certain group of people, they do not fulfill their responsibilities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the deen away from them and gives it to other people, and they run with that responsibility. Okay? So when in the beginning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprived the Arabs, and it went to the Turks, and then from the Turks it went to the Indian subcontinent, and from the Indian subcontinent, you know, it's been spreading, and there is an awakening all at all times. But if we look historically at Islam and the people who did more for Islam, there's always a change. Always change. Always a change. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. إِنْ يَشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ وَيَأْتِ بِآخَرِينَ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, He will get rid of you and He would bring other people. وَإِنْ تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. If you turn your backs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring other people, then they will not be like you. They will do what they're supposed to be doing. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ خَدِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has the power to do that. He has the power to do that. And we should take examples from everything that is going on around us at all times, how the situations around us evolve. And we should reflect upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His power when we see these things happening. Allah says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الثَّوَابَ الدُّنْيَا فَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ ثَوَابُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Whoever wants the reward of the world, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has both the reward of this world and the hereafter. So what does that mean? That if you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you fulfill what you're supposed to be doing, prepare for the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give you in this world and in the hereafter. Okay, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّن ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَحْسَنَ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Whoever does good deeds, from males or females in the state of iman, then we will give them a good life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises a good life in this world and in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we will reward them better than what they used to do. So we have to strive for the hereafter, and when we do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give us in this world and in the hereafter. So man kana yuridu thawab ad-dunya, whoever wants the reward of this world, فَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ ثَوَابُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, then indeed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the reward of this world, the dunya, and the reward of the hereafter. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is sami', He is all-hearing, and He is basir, He is all-seeing, He sees everything that is going on. With that we finish. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.